Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot. Oh my! It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Psychic medium Helene Olson and paranormal researcher Patricia Baker. Here are Supernatural Girls.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight is March 30th, 2013, and I am Helene Olson, here with my partner in crime, as always, Patricia Baker. Good evening, Patricia.
Hi, Helene. How are you this evening?
I'm great. The weather in New England has finally turned a little bit, hasn't it?
Oh, thank goodness. I didn't know if I could take one more day of winter dragging on. Just too much to bear.
Well, I heard a rumor it might be in the 60s this week, so that's something.
Yippee. We are so ready. Oh, my goodness me. We deserve nice weather, beautiful temperatures, and we got to get outside, get some fresh air.
I got to get that lawn done, Patricia.
Oh, gosh. Don't even talk about lawn.
My little postage stamp lawn has grubs, I think, so this is going to be a real pleasure.
It's going to be a battle. It'll be a battle.
Yeah, I know. What can you do?
Fight the good fight. That's all you can
like
do.
To put sometimes I just like to put cacti out there, you know? Not worry about it anymore.
Concrete, you know?
Yeah. Always an option, I suppose.
Always.
But not when I choose, but yeah, I got to get out there and fight the good fight for the little piece of lawn I have. So
you do.
Yeah. But tonight we talk about lawn. I don't think my lawn is big enough for them to land on, Patricia. But we have UFO summoner Robert Bingham on, and he really is amazing. I haven't spoken to him. You have, but I've picked up on his energy, and he has some enormous energy, I'll tell you.
Well, that's why I'm anxious for you both to speak because, yes, Robert and I have been chatting back and forth for the last couple of weeks, and he is a lovely man. He's got a great big heart like you and just a dear, dear soul. I mean, we're just lucky to have him on, and I know he's been making the rounds on other radio shows, but we're going to be taking this in a little bit of a different direction tonight because we want to give him a chance to speak directly to us and to the ETs. So if we have questions about what are the ETs doing, thinking, what are they going to be doing, et cetera, he's going to be able to answer those. And we're very excited to hear from him about this. He's also going to be telling us the method he uses to bring these UFOs into the sky. So that's something that he said anybody can learn. So everybody listening tonight is going to get a course in this from him.
Wow. I have seen some of the photos, and they're quite remarkable. So
They are so remarkable. And, you know, this we usually start, as always, with the paranormal news, but tonight I'm just going to report the paranormal news because Mr. X is not going to be able to join us this evening, and I want to be able
what
to
a
share.
What a shame.
I know. Mm-hmm. And we were so excited to hear from him because he is that dark operative that has direct information. Actually, he was directed by the branch of the military service that he was involved with to spy on people involved in the UFO phenomena. And he was
Spy on people who are actual abductees or spy on people who are talking about it or posting blogs about it?
Both.
Hmm.
And any UFO group, they were directed to monitor and even harass. And that was the part that I was really hoping everybody could hear from him directly because this is unfortunate that it happens this way. But it does. When people find the courage to speak up about this, whether it's their own abduction experience or whether it's something they saw or missing time and they don't know what happened but they saw the light in the sky, et cetera, when they start talking, they are leaving themselves open for a load of harassment. And it's true. He said that's exactly what they were told to do. In fact, one person out in the Southwest, they were told to monitor. And they were also told if anybody even goes into this guy's house, you should just arrest them. So that's the kind of harassment that he said they were told to go ahead and do. And so yet at the same time, we've got the government saying there's no such thing as UFOs. They don't want to come out with any disclosure. And yet these poor people, I mean, I feel for all these people that have had UFO experiences and have tried to speak out about it, and then they're faced with this kind of treatment from our very own government. And then on top of it, another sad piece is how unrelenting people are to judge them for their experience without really knowing what they're talking about. So I wanted to say to everybody tonight, when somebody talks to you about their experience with UFOs, please try to be considerate. Please try to listen with an open mind. Be non-judgmental, because these people are really putting their necks on the chopping block, and they really should be treated with a lot more respect. It is their experience, no matter what the source of this is. And it's time that we start listening. There's just too much evidence pointing in the direction that all of this is, in fact, real.
I'm a little speechless because I've heard stories about people being harassed and things like that over the years, you know, from the different radio shows I've been on. And I couldn't quite get a handle on whether it was real or not, that some of it felt real, but some of it didn't. And so I can see that there's a lot of surreptitious activity going on that's really hard to get a handle on, I guess, from what you're saying.
Well, it's unfortunate.
That's sad.
I know Mark Bloom wrote a great book called Out There, and it was about the government's disinformation campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a relentless campaign to basically put false information out there.
Oh, yeah.
People would bite on it, and then they'd look
mm-hmm.
silly. So there's so much nonsense that floats around, and it's on purpose. It's to try to discourage people from finding out the truth. And it's to encourage people to just dismiss the whole subject and say, no such thing as UFOs. So I'm just thrilled that we're going to have Robert on in a few moments, and we'll be able to find out exactly what happened with him. And actually, I see he's already on the board. So
he is. Let's get him on live.
Tim?
Let's get him on live now.
Let's start talking.
Hello, Robert Bingham. You're live on the air. This is Helene Olson.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Glad to be on the show.
Thank you.
Hi to all your listening.
Hello,
audience.
Robert. This is Patricia. Thank you for joining us this evening. I know you've had a busy day in Malibu and out on the West Coast, and we're just thrilled to have you on the show with us tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So please tell us, now all of this started for you, what, about 13 years ago?
I'd say about 13 years ago it started.
How did it start? What was the first interaction you had or first knowledge you had that you were able to call on these beings directly?
Well, I was living in a Victorian-type home that was that had a bunch of rooms, like a boarding home,
mm-hmm.
boarding house. And one of the rooms became available on the second floor. So it had like a balcony, and the manager told me if I wanted to look at it, if I was interested in moving from the other room to that room if I wanted to look at it. I said, sure. And so when I went in there, he was talking with one of the tenants there. And I don't know why I said it. I said, tonight's a good night to see an alien. And I don't know why I said it, but I said it. And so about maybe 20, he said, I'll call you, Robert, and 20 minutes after I talked to this tenant. I said, fine. So he called me, I went up there, and as we were looking at the room, he went out to the balcony, and he said, Robert, there's a UFO coming down the street. And I said, no, come on, you're kidding me. Stop kidding me. No, Robert, it's really coming down the street. And so I went out there, because I seen it, his voice was excited, and I was anxious. And so I went out onto the porch, the balcony, and here this black object that was changing shape. It was morphing I was coming down about the same level as the balcony down the street. We had a big, pretty big street in the front. And there's a local neighborhood with a lot of homes. And the thing I noticed right away is that there was about a 35-mile-an-hour wind, pretty powerful wind coming through that area. But this object seemed to be going at its pace like nothing affected it. And it was like if it was on a monorail system going at a certain speed down the street and changing shape. And it didn't seem to be affected by the wind at all. And I really, that's what really, popped my eyes, that it was defying physics. And it was changing shape, and it was going down the street at that level, and it was like a black, it was kind of like nighttime, so it was kind of black, it looked black to me.
And it did it make any sound?
It was totally silent as it was going down the street.
So now that you look back on this incident 13 years ago where you first saw this object, did you feel like it was an energetic object, like something that you saw the energy of, or did you feel it was a physical object that anybody could have seen?
That's hard to answer that. What I felt is that they came down to let me know that they were there, and they came down and were curious about me, why I said that, like if they were showing me, yep, we're watching. And so they came down, and I felt that it was highly intelligent, that it knew everything. And that was the first sighting. Hmm. So afterwards, I thought about it, and the person behind me that saw it with me seemed to brush it aside. He didn't want to talk about it. So I kept talking about it, and so I was excited. And so one day I took this young kid fishing at a local lake, and I told him, Adrian, we're going to see a UFO today. And sure enough, it was a nice blue sky day with some white puffy clouds, and there was one. It showed up, and it started doing some maneuvers. And he saw it, and we got excited, and I said, wow, that works. And I started doing that, and they didn't always show, but most of the time they showed up. And so I was living, I had moved to a city called, the name of the city is Alhambra, California. And I lived in this home, had this small home, a two-bedroom home, with a yard in the back and the front. And I was practicing summoning them. I practiced summoning them. And they would show up. And so I bought some camera equipment and I started recording photos of them. I thought it was very important that I take as many photos of them as possible. And
so the photos that you got, are they lights or are they actual ships or what are the photos like?
Well, there was majority are orbs,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of ships, different types of ships that would show up. And so I have a variety of different types of craft. But I'd say the majority of the orbs are like drone type of orbs, but they're live. And they do seem to have a personality like a human traits,
mm-hmm.
because they react. And
I've seen some pictures of the orbs. I don't know if these are orbs or ships, but I've seen pictures. Some of the pictures you've taken look like super bright light that's way up in the sky. So are the pictures you're talking about ones that are close to you, or?
But some of those are 60,000 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the one that this lady's posting that we put called The Day After, one of the pictures shows an airliner, and it shows one of the orbs but in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that orb, it's not an orb. It's a ship, actually, that was twice as high as the airliner. So it gives you an idea of how big it was, if it was at about 60,000 feet.
So would you say it was about twice the size of the airliner?
No, I'd say it was twice the height. The airliner was they fly at about 25,000 to 30,000 feet, and this ship was actually twice as high. It was twice as high. I guess I'll say high. So you can kind of get an idea what size it was.
Mm.
If you compare it to the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a pretty good sized ship. Now,
yeah.
It's amazing that you have this ability to communicate with them and that they respond to you and show themselves in the sky. And you also talk to them. Do you talk to them just as a part of your meditation, or they reach out to you? How does this happen?
Well, I started practicing this ability to reach out to them and interact with them and understand why they were around me. And so I just practiced and developed some type of communication skills with the colors. And actually, one of the things that I did was to send up a balloon, a happy face balloon.
Uh-huh.
And on the happy face balloon, I wrote three wishes, like Aladdin's lamp. You got three wishes. I put three wishes on the happy face balloon with a black marker. And one of them was, the first wish was I wanted the ultimate alternative fuel cell to save the earth from devastation with oil. The second wish was I wanted the remodification of the human cell to avoid all these viruses that are destroying us.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, I told them for next week's mega lot of numbers, but then I put down, I'm just kidding, but if you want to give them to me, I would take it.
We all want
hey, Robert, I've never been
numbers.
Able to get that.
Yeah.
I've asked and I've gotten a tongue lashing, so. No.
Well, anyway,
no,
as I sent that balloon up,
that would be a dream come true.
I was
for
taking
some,
photos
right?
of it. An orb came, and it went right next to the balloon and looked at it, and I took pictures of it as it was doing this. And the balloon drifted off, and the orb stood there. So I took a photograph of the orb, and I seen something go by. Bam! I said, I know I seen something go by. So I blew it up on the viewfinder, and I saw the picture of the ultimate alternative fuel cell. That's how fast and incredible they are.
Mm-hmm.
They gave it to me in the picture. And I said, wow, this was just like, you know, how could they do that? That technology, I took the picture, I have the timing and all that, you know, just incredible. So I took another picture of the orb and I did it again. I said, wow. And I said, no, they couldn't be twice. So I looked in the viewfinder. Sure enough, they gave me the picture of the remodified human cell. Avoid cancer meat and all that. And so I got kind of a little scared, not scared, but concerned that what am I going to do with this? You know, I don't have the money. So I would tell people, friends of mine and that I had this, but what could I do if I don't have the money to put it out there, and how am I going to get it out there, and all those concerns of getting this, what I have, getting it out there and to the right people that believe in what I just occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so,
you're right. I mean, we are under assault by all kinds of biological weaponry and things that even got started long ago, back in the 80s, with mycoplasma and other toxins that are now, according to some microbiologists, even in the vaccines we're being given. So we're going to need all the help we can get. So it sounds like what you're saying is the ETs that you are in touch with would like to help. Is that accurate?
Exactly. And so what they gave me was the photograph, and what they told me was, I'm going to put it on the air because I don't care who does it as long as they do it. They told me that the pauper fish, you know, when it blows up, it throws out all these spines with neurotoxins.
Right.
The pauper fish, the blowfish.
Yeah.
Well, they said we have to fuse off a certain part of the DNA from the pauper fish and infuse it into the membrane of our human cells, the DNA, and and only it would take, you know, the greatest minds and the money, but we're able to do it. And it would, but what it would do is put a, these viruses have a bunch of spines. If you ever looked at a cancer virus or AIDS virus, they have spines that puncture the lining of the membrane, and then these enzymes come out, and that's what causes the total breakdown of the human body system and causes us to die. But with this infused, this DNA infused from the pauper fish into our own DNA at the proper spot, because they give me the pictures, at the proper spot in the DNA strand, it would remodify our membrane, and when these viruses come, I mean, when they don't want nothing to do with it, because it's going to have a minute amount of neurotoxin, and so they're not going to be the big guy on the block anymore, and they're not going to, what happened, you won't be able to target them, it's just that they won't be able to kill you. They'll be dormant in your body. So that's the what they gave me.
Have any scientists contacted you about this information yet?
I really haven't spoke to him. I spoke to the only one I spoke to about this, and I think he ran with it a little, was Dr. Stan Friedman, the nuclear physicist.
Oh, yes.
And I had spoken to him about that years ago when I first got the pictures.
Well, we're definitely going to need some help here, because the health of people on the planet, especially in the United States, is on a downward spiral, and people who have chronic illnesses are great customers for pharmaceutical companies, but they're
exactly.
not getting better. They're not, and they're not going to until there are some breakthroughs. And it does sound like the ETs are pointing you in a certain direction to help modify our DNA to withstand further biological assault. Now, what is in store for us? Do the ETs talk to you about the future and what's coming? Because there's so much talk about the apocalypse and nuclear war and things like that.
Too many people are preaching doom, and especially what they've been taught in the Bible and all that, that Armageddon's coming, and some of them even look forward to Armageddon, because they don't ask me why, because I couldn't understand why they would want to see Armageddon happen.
Do you think they're manifesting it by talking about it so much, or do you think it's just sort of fear-mongering?
Well, I think it's just a way of control, and I really don't know. All I know is that we have the, what I'm told is, what I'm trying to do, what I'm doing, my mission is to enlighten people that we have the power to get it together and correct these problems. But we cannot let the lobbyists in the corporate America run everything. We, the people, the majority, should be running the program.
Mm-hmm.
What's good for us, and not them. Not letting them make the decisions and lying to us all the time about this is good for us, and actually just lying to the people, you know, and lobbying out there in Washington, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing in the world. But getting back to what I did, about a week later, I had my camera outside, and I was outside, and I seen what you might call the typical flying saucer, stainless steel type of flying saucer with the portal windows on top.
Mm-hmm.
And I grabbed my camera, and I was so excited. I wanted to take the picture so bad it's hard. It took a little while before I got the camera operating right, and it started to poke itself. So halfway through before I got my camera operating right, and I took the pictures, and I got pictures of it halfway close, the flying saucer.
Is that on your website now, Robert?
Pardon me?
Is that photo on your website?
No, I have these photos put away. I have 20,000 photos I took over the years that I haven't.
Oh my goodness! So that sounds like a fascinating photo, where it's half closed like that.
It is a fascinating photo because I haven't finished what I'm going to tell you. But what happened was, is I took photos of it, and it completely turned into a ball, but a different colors, green, purple, and all these. But it looked like a spear, but actually inside that spear was a flying saucer. And it went up to about 35,000 feet, and as I was taking a series of pictures of it going up there, so that where the airliners were, I seen an airliner going toward it, and I'm taking the picture, and I got the pictures. I didn't have a video. I said, wow, I wonder what's going to happen, because it's going straight toward that sphere, which is the UFO cloak. And I said, well, the UFO is going to move out of the way, right? But what happened is, as I was watching it, the UFO moved the airliner out of the way.
What?
And I couldn't
How did that happen?
Yeah, it moved the airliner out of the way. And we shifted it to the side, and it kept on continuing. I don't even think the airliner realized that it was moved.
Oh, my goodness.
And I saw it. And so I said, wow, what kind of powers do they got? They couldn't do, move a whole airliner with that energy. You know, it's just like something watching something out of the biblical, you know, out of the Bible. Anyway, so I took the photos. I downloaded them on my computer, and I analyzed each one. And the photo that I took with it halfway cloaked, underneath the belly, they had digital faces, happy faces. But seven digital happy faces. There were, because I sent up that happy face balloon before. And so I said, I got official contact.
Do you know why they're contacting you, Robert Bingham? I mean, do you have a sense of what they've told you and information about why you're connected? Because I got some information about that.
Well, I've been told, I believe that it's genetic, and I had mentioned that to Nancy Talbot, that I believe it's genetic.
Yeah. Well, the information I got is that you already know them.
Right. What I was told by somebody, I was taking a class in a pharmacy class, and somebody left a printout, like a booklet, but it was just printout pages, and it was called Alien Biological Experiments, and what I briefed to it, because I didn't want to read it all, because I didn't want to get scared. What it was about was, in the 1950s, the government were implanting DNA into people that met their criteria into the fetuses of pregnant women. And I think they were trying to give me a heads up on what was happening. And that's, you know, but I don't know whether that's true. I feel like I am part of them, and I may have the ability to talk to them and communicate with them. So there might be some truth to that. And I think the government, or elements of the government, were doing this to see how far this would go.
Interesting. Well, what I got was that you've actually been part of their culture in the past. Your energy, is huge and expansive, and it goes right through the cosmos, Robert. I don't even know if you know how powerful you really are. Okay.
Well,
and so,
I really don't know how powerful I am either, because I try to consider myself just a normal human being. And,
right, but you're connected all the way through to lots of different dimensions and to divinity, and your energy, the way they showed me your energy was like it reaches out into the cosmos and right into the center of Mother Earth. And so the idea is that if you wanted to open further and have more contact with them or get more information, you could. It's just that you have a lot of humility, Robert, and so you just take it as it comes. But they actually already knew you.
Correct.
That makes any sense. Yeah.
I would ask them for more, but I need to ask them when I am able to do something with it and have the proper people behind me.
Right, but you're already doing something with it, and it's not that it stops here. It's just that, you know, you're doing what you can do, which is get the word out, and eventually someone will come to you, and it's sort of just speaking the words, being out in public and so forth, makes people aware, and eventually it will get to the right place, right?
Right. That's exactly right. That's what I've been doing. I keep knocking on the wall until the wall goes down.
But God bless you. I mean, how many people are willing to step forward and be that public person who talks about this information? So I mean, I think it's pretty amazing that you're doing that, because I know you're a person of great humility, and, you know, your only true intent is to help humanity in whatever way you can. And so, you know.
Yeah, getting asked for something so better than to do that, than, mm-hmm. I mean, wow.
Do you ever actually see these aliens? Because I'm seeing one right now.
Do I ever actually see them? I met one inside a bar, actually.
Mm-hmm. In human form, or?
In human form.
Mm-hmm.
And I had walked into this bar, where, like in a nightclub, like a restaurant bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my girlfriend, and there was only two seats at the bar, two stools. And there was a gentleman standing there, and I said, excuse me, are these seats taken? And he said, oh, no, go ahead, take them. So as we sat down, he said, I introduced my girlfriend and myself to him, and he said his name was Angel. And I had been doing a lot of work on angels, which I mm-hmm. call the terrestrial angels. And I had been mm-hmm. taking a lot of photographs and compiling information on why I know that they're angels. Mm-hmm. And they're doing my own research. And he asked us if he could buy us a drink, and I said, sure. And when he reached in his pocket, he pulled out what I thought was a cabbage, but it was a billfold of brand new $100 bills. Must have had, it looked like a cabbage. It was that big, and I didn't know how he pulled it out of his pocket, but anyway.
That's funny.
He didn't know, he never handled money that much, you know, the way
mm-hmm.
I thought. It's, kind of strange to him, but. So my girlfriend grabbed his baseball cap and took it off, and his cranium of his head was totally not like any human being. And he put the baseball cap back on, and I said, excuse me, I'm sorry for what she did. But she wanted to see how good looking he was, or if he was baldy or whatever. I don't know what she wanted to do, but she was that type of person, and she thought it was funny. But when she went to talk to her friends, he had grabbed me by the shoulders, and he looked at me, and he said, Robert, I'm your angel, and God sent me here to tell you something. And I thought I heard that, you know, but it was kind of loud in there. So I said, I know your name's Angel. And he said, no, Robert, my name is Angel, and I'm your angel. God sent
wow.
me here. So, and I asked him.
I'm getting
said,
the shivers,
well,
Robert, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what did he send you here to tell me? And I believed them because I was doing all that angel research.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, God sent me here to tell you, Robert, that he loves you very much. And I said, why me? You know, I mean, I don't understand why, you know, I can't be that much, I'm just a person. I have my faults and everything, and I'm not the greatest guy, you know? He goes, well, God said you have a good heart.
Mm.
And I said, well, okay. But he said also, he said, but you have two choices and make the right choice. So I never asked him what the choices were. I said, what if I make the wrong choice, Angel? He said, well, if you didn't make the wrong choice, Robert, then you go down and I go down with you. I said, why would you go down with me because I made the wrong choice?
Mm-hmm.
He said, because I'm responsible for you. And I said, therefore, Angel, I won't make the wrong choice. I'll make the right choice. I don't want to be responsible for it to send you down for something
wow.
I did, you know?
What a powerful experience. My goodness. I mean, to meet an angel in a bar, and, oh, my goodness. I'm getting the shivers too, Helene. This is quite something. You know, we're going to have to take a break. I hate to, because this conversation is so, I'm all engrossed in it now. I don't want to leave it, but.
I have an ET looking at me right now who's just been standing very patiently, Robert. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. How's that?
Yeah, we'll talk to him. Uh-huh. And if you have a question for Robert and the ETs, the number to call is 646-478-0828. Be sure to press the number 1, and our call screener, Megan, will speak with you before we get on the air with you. Stay tuned. Thank you.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Sometimes life can be a challenge. Would you like insight and guidance to help you make the best choices right now? Contact Helene at angelslighthouse.com to make your personal appointment for a psychic reading or energy alignment. Helene is a direct channel to the angelic realm and is remarkably capable of connecting to the living as well as to your loved ones on the other side. Helene is available to clients all over the world via phone or Skype, and it's simple to set up a group reading anywhere. Visit angelslighthouse.com, where you'll find an easy way to schedule right online. And while you're there, sign up for the Angels Lighthouse newsletter and receive information on all the free energy circles, giveaways, and jewelry with a message. Visit angelslighthouse.com and contact Helene today.
Well, welcome back, everyone. We're live on the air again with our fabulous guest, Robert Bingham, a UFO summoner, and my partner, Patricia Baker. Hello, everyone. We're back, and thank you for staying tuned. If you have a question for Robert Bingham, you can call in at 646-478-0828, and please be sure and press the number 1 to indicate that you'd like to talk to us. And our lovely call screener, Megan, will help you. Right, Patricia?
That's right.
Yeah.
This is amazing. I mean, I'm so engrossed in this now. Is that alien still standing next to you?
Oh, yeah. He's not standing next to me. He's in my third eye.
Okay.
And honestly, it sort of looks like, there's a very large bulge around the outside of the cranium. Like the top half of the head is a lot bigger than the bottom half of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a ridge. It's a ridge. It's not a smooth, larger part at the top. There's like a ridge around it.
Exactly.
And he almost looks skeletal. And I don't mean that he is a skeleton. I just mean that his whole cranium kind of looks more the way you'd expect a skeleton to look in a way. Does that make sense to you, Robert?
Well, Angel, everything looked normal except when she lifted the baseball cap off. His upper part of his, where his skull is, the cranium,
mm-hmm.
looked like an older man, like an ancient man, and he had only a few strands of hair on him.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, 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 how would you say, looking at that and then what the rest of his body looked like a young man, like younger than
mm-hmm.
me.
But he was in physical form, and I'm looking at something that's energetic form, I think.
Right. I think just that for whatever reason, he couldn't cloak that part, so he put a
mm-hmm.
baseball cap on that.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked at me, and then I seen fire come out of his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He got angry at somebody in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I seen fire very come out of him, and because somebody had said something to my girlfriend And I saw, wow, he's a fierce angel. And
well, angels are fierce. I mean, people like to think they're lovely little soft, fluffy energies because that's how their channel receives them, and they really do want to help humanity. But in reality, people who are open channels who see angels, they're very fierce.
Exactly.
They don't take any nonsense, you know.
Exactly. That's why I tell people, be careful what you say about them.
But did you ever see this? Did you ever see this this angel again?
No, I have not. I have not.
It's
seen
just that
again.
One time.
I had mentioned this to a friend of mine from India, and she said, "Well, if you haven't seen him, Robert, then apparently you made the right choice." And I said, "That makes sense."
Yeah.
What a relief.
Now, I have to clarify something with you, Robert, because I think I'm not really sure what you mean. Do you believe that the ETs are angels, or do you believe the angels are working with ETs, or how do you see this?
Well, I believe that whatever we perceive, I mean, angel is just a name. And,
right.
During the history of observing these flying ETs and how they operated, whatever angels are to a person, that's what ETs are. They're masters of monitoring the earth and everybody on it and how would I say, their guard, every one of us have an angel that guards, that is a guardian of us, you know. And
yeah.
When it's time to go, it's time to go. Mm-hmm. But I like to say that they are constantly watching the earth, that it doesn't do. Calamities they're not as big as they possibly could be, or that things won't happen to wipe out the earth. I can give you an example of that. And the meteor that fell over Russia, a certain part of Russia, not too long ago, I think about a few weeks ago, a month ago, I lose track of time.
Mm-hmm.
Videographers took a good video and showed two of these orbs. As this meteor was coming in, these two orbs sized it up by moving around it and I guess looking at where they're going to hit it with the lasers. And one was on one side and one was on the other, and they blasted it with a laser, and that's why nobody got killed. And they found nothing but little rocks. That was them preventing a big disaster. Another Tunguska.
Yeah, I got the same thing with Hurricane Sandy, that even though that disaster was horrible, it could have been a lot worse because they told me they shifted it.
Exactly. It could have been a lot worse. Before the disasters happened, they had told me that the Vancouver area was going to get hit. And I had said this, I believe, on one of my postings, and that the East Coast was going to hit. Also, some islands were going to get hit. I think that was the Solomon Islands. And all three of those got hit, but there's one place that hasn't got hit that they told me was going to get hit, and that's Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
they do the best they can, right?
Well, they do. Yeah, exactly. The Vancouver earthquake, the tsunami should have been a lot bigger, but it wasn't because they quelled it down. The hurricane in New York could have been a lot worse, but it wasn't because they helped it. You know, like you said, quelled it. And certain things are happening, and they're showing that they're here to help. And if they, you know, we gotta give credit where credit is due, and that, you know, they're here so we can help usher us into a new age and to, you know, live to be like them, really, and to live like them with technology that is clean and living longer and better foods and all those things that we should be doing, education.
Well, I received some information that our vibration of the earth sort of disrupts other worlds because, you know, we're multidimensional. There's all kinds of dimensions around us. And that one of the things that they're trying really hard to do is raise the vibration of the earth and the people, especially the vibration of people. Have you received any information like that, Robert?
Well, I believe that what they told me was that they are going to do, they're going to show themselves eventually. My mission is to ease the shock when they do come. And,
yes.
And my mission is to be, actually what my title they gave me is that I am the ambassador for the Kingdom of the Most High. And but the public has named me the summoner, but I am actually an ambassador. So when they do arrive, mm-hmm. I'll be a liaison, so to speak.
I have four of them here now,
oh my
Robert.
Goodness. Well, you better start talking to them, or you don't want to take them to your bedroom tonight. So you better have
no,
to speak your mind
they're
here.
They're just
what
in
you...
my third eye.
Okay, but
in
we
my
should.
Third eye.
We should.
I
ask
them not to land. There's no reason to land. Don't land here.
You know, I gotta stop everybody here and let the audience know that Helene was a little reluctant about this because Helene is great with the angels and everybody. I mean, it's true, Helene, you are. But when it comes to the ETs, there's been a little hesitation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because unfortunately, you know, the universe, as I've said many times before, and Robert, you can understand this message, the universe is sort of like a New York City street at midnight. You know, I talk to the light, I talk to anything of the divine, but sometimes there are interlopers and sometimes there are people or beings playing pranks and that kind of thing. And so, to me, I'm a little bit hesitant. I deal with the angelic realm and that's about where it begins and ends, and when it comes to ETs, it gets a little overwhelming for me. I can't be all things to all people, right, Robert? So you just take it as it comes and do the best you can. So,
And Colleen, I have to thank you because I know this is a little off the map for you, but you're so gracious about this whole subject and allowing the ETs to come and visit tonight. And I would really like to know, I mean, why are they here tonight with communicating through you? Do they have a message for our audience tonight? What do they what do they want
they
to share?
They want me to, okay, they're just giving me clear thought because they actually speak in a light language. It's something that I couldn't understand if they were speaking what they really speak. And so they're giving me clear thought, but it's as though they're asking me to please support Robert and to, explain that they are here in love. Love is coming through as a huge energy, and I think that if everybody sort of calms down for a minute, they'll actually feel the energy of this coming right through the radio because it's very, very powerful.
Yeah, this is like a big healing and a big clearing, just having that energy. I can feel it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what they're channeling through me. I mean, it's just like pure love. In other words, they don't want any fear around this. They want Robert to continue his path of being out in the world and continuing his message so that when the disclosure comes, and it's not this year, but as time goes on, that people won't be shocked, they won't be overwhelmed, they won't be wrapped in terror, you know, that this is something that is a natural progression of our humanity and our ability to connect. And they are telling me that I understand where Robert comes from, that he is connected to them, and that is their mission to make him the ambassador of love and of light and of all things helpful to humanity. And that is their mission. And they have confirmed that our vibration still needs to be connected on this planet. They are telling you, Robert, that they will be coming to see you personally, that you are going to have some interaction with them in the near future where you actually see their beingness sort of in front of you instead of as an orb. Do you understand that message, Robert?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I've had a craft about the size of a garage, about 50 feet above my head, and they told me to telepathically to get out of the car and walk in the field, and that I would sort of go for a ride. But I actually, at that time, I was really hungry, and I was a little frightened. I would have been.
I would have been very frightened. But what they're saying is that you're going to see them manifest in front of you, like in your home or somewhere where you will see them sort of standing in front of you energetically, okay?
It's funny you should say that. Today I had an event in Malibu, but last night I had just moved into this apartment. Last night about 3 o'clock, the smoke alarm went off. There was no smoke, there was nothing, it just went off. So I called the person that knows that apartment very well, and he's the front desk manager there. And I said, John, I said, is this a carbon monoxide alarm or is this a smoke alarm? He says, oh, it's a smoke alarm. I said, it went off. I said, can you hear it? He goes, yeah. I goes, I've been there 20-some years. Why wouldn't it never went off?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow. I said, that is really strange. You know, I thought maybe that their presence, they came to see me, and the machine went off. I mean, the smoke alarm went off.
Yeah, things like that will happen, and they're not really trying to disrupt anything. It's just the energy comes in.
The energy set it off.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be back, though. They are very clear about that they don't want you to be frightened of them standing in front of you, okay?
No, I'm not frightened of them at all. I'm ready to go for that ride if they offer me a ride. Trip on their front of the craft.
Okay, and this is my cue to say, Robert, this is my cue to say, I am not ready to go for a ride.
So don't stop by and
you're welcome to enjoy your journey, but I have too much going on in my house. I can't leave right now.
But you can come to my house. You
can
go
stop
to your by
house,
over here.
Patricia. Yeah. Interesting. Robert, would you mind if we take a caller now?
Oh, I wouldn't mind. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Let's welcome Rebecca on the air. Rebecca, you're live on the air. Hello.
Hi. I was wondering if you or the ETs or Robert would perhaps clarify for me. I had been trained to do an Arcturian activation, kind of like a corridor of light, by Gene Ang. And he showed us how to do that, and then we could bring it to our own home and create a corridor of light so we could kind of create, you know, more light here on Earth and also, you know, help with contact. And so I've been doing that, and also I spoke with you guys last week, and I was taking pictures of orbs, and one morning, it was still dark out in last fall, I took a picture, and when I downloaded it and looked at it, I saw three, like, oval blobs, and I recently asked Gene what he thought it was, and he thought it might be spaceships, and one of the blobs is oval. I mean, they're all oval, but one of them's clearly, you can see the outline. I sent Patricia it on email just now, kind of about half an hour ago. And so you can see that it really is oval. And he said that they travel in three, like the spaceships will, for the Arcturians anyway. So I was wondering if, in fact, if somebody there could verify that or help clarify or... And why, well, you know, hopefully they are responding to the corridor of light, and if there's anything more I can do, or if I do have a connection with them, what I can do more. I've been doing some Arcturian healing light, which I was trained to do, which seems to be helping people. So that's kind of what my question is.
Okay. Thank you, Rebecca. Do you have a response to that, Robert?
She's absolutely... Well, she's correct. When they travel, they do travel in threes, and a lot of times when they're positioned, it looks like a triangle. And they do. I don't know about the corridor, but I have seen them open up vortexes where they come in and out. And I believe we could do practically anything if we just believe in it and practice it. And haven't been taught that, and I believe that we can channel energy and do healings by just visualizing that we're getting this energy from the the universe.
Well, that's true. I know. You're trying to say, but what you're trying to say is place all of your intention on it, right?
Right, and visualize what's going on in that person's body.
Mm-hmm.
And just visualization is making it happen. And you can do a lot of things. It's just that most people think it's silly, but it's not. It's not silly. A lot of people don't, you know, we've became a society that does, believe that it's in a pill. And it's not. We have a lot of powers that we haven't been taught that we're capable of. But I believe now we're getting these things are opening up and people are becoming more open-minded. And people are seeking something other than what they've been taught. And so it's really opening up for everybody. And I don't know too much about what she's talking about, the light, but I believe that the sun or the stars, they throw up these rays, and that's probably the light she's talking about.
I can address that a little bit. Yeah, Arcturians are one of the beings, one of the cultures that actually works with angels, the way I see it. And I've seen them come in with angels, and there are many cultures that the angelic realm works with to help humanity. There are a lot of them from other dimensions that are truly divine light, and they want to help. And Arcturians are very powerful. They're very interested in giving instruction in opening light and healing and things like that, and I have received that kind of information from them. The beings that are here right now are not Arcturian, but I think that what you're doing when you open that corridor of light is actually creating an opening for healing. And I think that as you do it, as time goes by, you're going to find a portal opening permanently wherever you're doing this, Rebecca.
Yeah, I'm just kind of doing it at my house, out my backyard, in Rockport.
And this is a great picture, Rebecca. I just pulled it up, and it is a remarkable picture. I hope you will post it. In fact, if you'd like, I'd like to post it for you. It's an amazing photo.
Yeah, that's great. I'd love it if you would.
Oh, I will, definitely. We'll put it on the Pinterest board so that everybody can see it under UFOs and anomalies. So make sure you guys go visit that board to see Rebecca's photo. It's very powerful. It's a very powerful photo.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so
much,
Rebecca, for calling in and sending this photo. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your show.
Rebecca.
And thank you, Robert. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Bye. That was an interesting question because other beings do work in connection with the angelic realm, and they are here all for good reasons, and it's lovely. I don't connect with them as much as she is, but it's a lovely thing, right, Robert? Now, let's see. We have another question. Let's talk to Renee.
Hello.
Renee, you're live on the air.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Hi. Oh, my gosh, I'm listening to this, and it's like you guys understand my story then. Because I've had things that happened to me since I was a child that I knew that other people didn't understand. I've had lights appear to me. My childhood was so fragmented and disjointed. It was like I would be put into a family, taken out, and it was like weird, all these things that happened. But I knew there was a purpose, there was a reason. I didn't feel like everybody else. I couldn't be like everybody else. I had a very spiritual thing inside of me that I could never go away from. I mean, I tried to numb it with drugs and alcohol, and that didn't work. And then finally I just gave up that. And then I started to follow, like, let's say a religious path, different religions. Well, maybe this will work. Finally I gave that up because I said this is limited too. And I just said, I'm just going to let everything be. I know that everything is spiritual. And, okay, so to today, sometimes I do feel like I have felt like three beings came and they stood in front of me. It's not something I saw with my physical eye, but I sensed them there. Nothing scary. I felt like it was love, and I felt that they were just checking on me. And then I have a teenage son, and he says, Mom, sometimes I see these really tall beings. What is that? And
they're angels. They're angels. That's what I'm being told right now.
Okay, and he's heard a voice that was, he said, in a language he didn't understand. So this is around us, but what is the purpose here? What is going on? Because I have never been able to just mix with you know, everyone and be like that. I felt like I came from a place of very deep love, and this planet is very much not that, you know. And so,
but you were sent
wow.
here. You were sent here. You raised your hand, probably. I mean, they always tell me I raised my hand, and I just don't believe it, Renee, because I don't think I would have wanted to be here. I think they kind of gave me a nudge, okay? But
okay.
somehow, you kind of agreed to come here to sort of keep a vibration to help the planet to be here at this time. And
okay.
a lot of people who are here are on that kind of path, and every single one of them that I've talked to says, I'm not sure I would have wanted to come, you know?
Yeah.
So now you've had your horrible human experience, but you were able to make it through it all because you came in with this wisdom and love, you see?
Yeah.
And so now it's your time to sort of embrace spirituality in the way that they want you to so that you can hold the vibration.
See, that's where I'm most comfortable, on the spiritual
mm-hmm.
path. I mean, even now, I cannot drink alcohol or anything because my heart
mm-hmm.
hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know when I'm wrong, and
mm-hmm.
then I know that that's not for me. And then, I mean, just all these amazing things happen, and I'm like listening to you guys. So thank you for bringing this message because it heals me and it helps me. I'm not the only one. Ooh.
No.
No, that's for sure. You're not. And thank you so much for calling in and for listening to the show. And, you know, that's what this is all about. We want to give people a chance to hear about all of these wonderful experiences and the spiritual path and how to hold the vibration for themselves and the planet and the animals and everybody else. Things are speeding up, and we need all the love and light we can find.
Okay. Love you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for
thank
listening,
you.
Renee. Thank you. That was a nice call. And
it's
I think
beautiful.
That, yeah, Robert, don't you find that when you go to events and so forth, you have a lot of people coming up to you?
Yes, I have a lot of people that come up to me and they ask me questions. When you were telling her you weren't sure if you wanted to come on this, come to this planet, well,
mm-hmm.
I was going to say that I actually had passed away one time when I was about 17.
Wow.
And they took me up. They took me up on a ship, and Dad said to me, why do you want to go back? And I told him, because I'm too young to die. And they said, you know, Robert, that you're going to go through all that pain again. I said, yes. They go, but I don't want my mom to find out that I died.
That's
and,
love, right? Yeah.
Yes, and then they told me that about a mission that... that if I was willing to do this mission, and I agreed, and so that's why I'm here.
Takes a lot of courage, Robert. Takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, and I passed. I was out. You might say flatlined for about 40 minutes.
Oh my gosh!
And when I had said that my mom to this person who I assumed was Jesus, it was not verbal. It was all telepathic.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up in the hospital table after they defibrillated me, and I tried to explain to people that close to me about the UFO thing, but I stopped doing that because I, you know, they wouldn't understand and knew that I was going crazy or something.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't want to be
but,
like locked up in a nut house, so
mm-hmm.
probably wise.
Oh yeah,
to say.
I didn't like the ridicule that I got, but. It all came back to me later on, you know, and when I realized that I did sign up for this mission. I did agree.
Oh, I know I signed up for it, Robert. It's just I'm surprised because this is a hard place to be, you know. So people tell me, well, you raised your hand, and I honestly don't remember doing that. And I love the work I do now. I really do love the work I do. But
okay.
And I understand about the mission, you know, it is what it is, and wow,
you know,
that
but,
must.
But I gotta say, what I really like about Robert, what you're involved with the ETs who are also involved with the angels,
mm-hmm.
is that there's a real sense of gentle energy. They don't want to scare you. They don't want to scare us.
This
is very different from the abduction stories and UFO experiences of the 80s, where people were taken up in ships and they were basically experimented on, and they were probed. I mean, if you you hear from Travis Walton or any of the other abductees that experience that. I remember talking to Betty Hill years ago, and I had the pleasure of spending some time with Betty. Now, Betty was about, she was a tiny little lady. She was probably not even 5 feet tall. And she said to me, listen, Patricia, she said, if I had had a frying pan, I would have taken him out with that frying pan. That's how Betty Hill was. But she was one of the first to come forward with her husband, Barney, and talk about this and identify a star that nobody else knew existed. And it really gave a lot of validity to her experience. But it was not a real pleasant experience. They're taken aboard a ship, memory wiped, have to suffer through terrible nightmares. So, you know what I'm really glad about with you, Robert, is that you don't have any of that. You have just a nice connection. You're able to call them forth. They're able to communicate with you. You have an angel stop by and say, hey, at a bar. I mean, you've got the perfect thing going on here where it's all pleasant. It's all happy.
Have you seen any of the videos of the angel-type orbs?
Yes.
Wow, that's great. Because there's some, have you looked on Third Phase of Moon? He has, Big Cousin has some of my best footage that I let him use.
Why don't you give us that website, Robert?
Okay, well, first I'll give you my website. My website is, you can look at a lot of my YouTube videos. It's UFO Robert Bingham, and it's the website is robertbingham.org.
Okay.
And I also got about maybe 23 videos with Third Phase of Moon, which is Blake Cousins' Third Phase of Moon. And some of my best stuff is posted on his website.
Okay, how do you spell that? Because I can't quite hear you clearly.
Third Phase of Moon. Phase,
oh, Third
G-H-A-S-E.
Phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, Third Phase of Moon.
And that's all spelled out.
Altogether, I think I got 85 videos. I'm not too sure anymore.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions here coming in from the chat room. I know, Robert, you mentioned before the DNA manipulation possibly by the government or the extraterrestrials themselves. And somebody wrote in and wanted to know, and you may not know the answer to this, but the question was, do you think that Jesus was an extraterrestrial?
Yes, of course. I believe that in the Bible where it says that he would be coming on a cloud, I believe he's going to come in an extraterrestrial vehicle, a big one.
Mm. Wow.
And it's going to be cloaked in a cloud. And I believe totally that he was an extraterrestrial.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
And then there's one other question from neighbor Norm, and he says in the chat room that he saw a very tall alien, like maybe he's thinking it was 8 to 9 feet tall, very thin, long, narrow head, and he saw it at the edge of a highway.
Was it blue?
It disappeared. He didn't give a color. He said it didn't seem to have a nice personality, so he was wondering about that.
Well, I think what I was going to say is, Robert, you're dealing with ETs that are working with the angelic realm, and you're dealing with all things of light and love, okay? But I think that there are lots of cultures in different dimensions, and like I said, you know, they all have a different mission, and I don't think that it was Arcturians who were sort of abducting people or anything like that. You know, I think it was other cultures.
Yes, I believe there's good and bad, you know, and what I'm working with is the good, which is going to change this, the bad things that are happening here on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
There's another verse that says that the light overcometh the dark, and the dark comprehended not.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that the light's coming into the planet, and it's gonna keep coming. The door is going to open up more and more, and more light's going to come. And it's going
but you know what I found, Robert? I found that some of the light in the past year that's been shifting into the planet has sort of irritated the dark.
That's interesting. So what do you mean it irritated it?
it's sort of like when the light amped up, when all the shift started going on in 2012, and it's still continuing now anyway, but when these big gateways of light come in, it seems like it kind of irritates the dark, and so they start being more active too. Does that make any sense
right,
to you, Robert?
Right, they start doing a lot more bad things.
Right, right.
Of course, because they want people to believe that the light is actually the dark, but it's not.
Right.
And that's all it is shifting the attention of the people. And there's a lot of disinformation out there that's going out there to confuse the so-called general public.
It's true.
And, that's what I'm out there for, is to try to show people that they can discern for themselves the truth from, you know,
that's
life.
So needed. I mean, this is so necessary, because with all the crazy lies that have been put out in a disinformation campaign, and there are some people who try to get some attention that aren't really involved with this phenomenon, but still, it's just, we need to know. We have the right to know what the truth is, and we really commend you for attempting to tell people this is real.
Well,
ETs exist, and don't be afraid of them.
Exactly. I have been told in the past, before I went public, that certain elements within the government feel that it's on a need-to-know basis, and the public don't need to know.
Yeah.
And that, not even the president knows unless they absolutely have to tell him at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. I believe we, as the people, which the Constitution says, you know, we the people,
mm-hmm.
Should be
right.
In charge of what we should know, and not let some certain elements of the government feel that they have the right to keep us from knowledge of. They're working for us. I mean,
I agree. I agree. I wish they were working for us, but it just doesn't seem that way. And it just seems like they think they can keep all these things from us, and they've really done a good job. So, but I have to say, I'm grateful to the ETs that are in touch with you and the ones who are beneficial, who are trying to help. I just wish they'd make themselves a little more prominently known. It seems like we've been waiting forever to really get a huge mass sighting, which once and for all cannot be argued with. And
well, I've done a lot of public events where they've shown up and been recorded. And I don't know how much I have to do for people to open their eyes. A lot of people that went to my events went there to debunk me. There was a group of students from UCLA and USC that went actually to debunk me. But after they witnessed the things that happened, they actually called me Dr. Bingham. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, we've missed one break here, and
oh
so what we're going to do is take one, because this conversation, of course, is so fascinating, we're going to take one more caller, and then we'll go to a break. So let's welcome Jim on the line right now. Jim, you're live on the air. Hello.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Patricia. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
It's our friend Jim. How are you tonight, Jim?
Well, thank you, Helene. Appreciate that. You know, I have a curious question. There has been noises that have been emanating from the Earth since about January of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of them on the YouTube was shown in Kiev, and it almost sounded like, I think they were calling it like Michael's trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
But other noises sound like freight trains that are colliding, and sometimes it's widespread, and sometimes it's very specific in certain areas, almost like within certain square blocks. And I'm wondering if Robert has any kind of insight as to where these noises are coming from. Is it an interdimensional type of noise, or is it actually coming from inside the Earth from a pole change, maybe?
I really couldn't tell you, but I've experienced some noise that was very strange one time when there was big ships came to I summoned the ETs, but they showed up in ships, and it happened to be when Obama was in town. And I heard this noise that went vroom, vroom, vroom. It was really, and I realized that it was just, I didn't, I thought it was the aurora, actually. But I couldn't really actually tell you about those noises, but I did experience this really strange noise that happened when these two ships showed up. But what actually happened was one ship showed up. It was actually really huge. They had F-16s down below where I was, scrambled, flying in the city right there. And up there, I looked at these big binoculars that they have on ships. I had a pair of those. And there was this a white aircraft that was about 80,000 feet, I guess, or 90,000 feet. It was approaching this big ship. So this big ship had a sister ship show up, just like that, boom, right next to it. But I heard this noise that was, I can't describe it. It was just very, very unusual noise. So I didn't know if that was interdimensional noise, which I thought it could be an interdimensional noise of these big ships opening a vortex to come in. I really couldn't tell you.
And when you say aurora, Robert, are you meaning the aurora, like the experimental aircraft that they have? They fly out of Groom Lake?
I thought that's what they sent, the U.S. sent up there, because there was F-16s down below where we were.
Okay.
This ship, this plane that went to observe the big ship up there, I mean, at 90,000 feet, I think that they sent the aurora up there to check it out or something similar to that. It wasn't a normal aircraft. But I think it was so high that, and I seen it go by the big ship, and I seen it circle to come back again. And I thought, wow, you know, I kind of got a little, not frightened, but a little concerned that I've caused something, you know, and I don't want to cause an incident.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got to be careful causing an incident like that. I would never want to do that.
Right.
Well, gotcha. Well, thank you for that.
Well,
Jim, I just wanted to say something.
Go ahead, Patricia.
Thank you. About the noises, there was something I just read recently that I found very, very interesting about the different noises that people have been hearing near the New Madrid Fault. Now, somebody went back and did research because when that fault exploded with a huge earthquake, I believe it was over 8 on the Richter scale, back in the 1800s. It was such a severe quake that church bells rang by themselves in New England. And when they were researching this, what they found was that for up to 2 years before that quake hit, they heard those kinds of thunderous noises. And they referred to them as thunder in the sky for 2 years that they heard before the New Madrid Fault blew. And now, I know you're reading as I am, that the people in that New Madrid area and other areas in the world are hearing those noises. So it's a bit concerning if that is, in fact, a forewarning of what's to come for earthquakes.
Exactly. Well, not only earthquakes, but there's something strange, really strange, going on within the earth itself. And you've heard of Linda Moulton Howe. She's been looking into this, and it's really a huge conundrum for her. And, you know, if you go on YouTube and you type in Kiev, K-I-E-V, Russia, and the noises, it almost has a sound like a trumpet. It's the strangest thing, and no one can really put their finger on it. And yet it can be localized, and people who experience it, let's say, in their own home, can be just shocked. You know, an 80-year-old woman was knitting in her house, and it almost appeared like the noise came from the center of her room. And yet other areas of the United States, it will be within square blocks or square miles rather than just one square block. So it's a real strange conundrum, and people are trying to still get their finger on it, but they can't quite localize and understand what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like there may be a couple things happening here. But, Jim, that's a great question, and thank you so much for calling
in. Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you,
Jim. Love listening to the radio. Thank you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I think that those earth noises are earth noises. They're releasing something from the earth, whether it's gas or there's movement far deep below the surface of the earth, that's where it's coming from in connection to what you're talking about, Patricia.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and it is concerning, especially since that was exactly what happened before that New Madrid fault blew up back then.
You know what? I'd like to say that what it is, it's those are birth pangs.
Oh, interesting.
Like a woman's pregnant, she has birth pangs.
Mm-hmm.
And those are birth pangs for the new age that is about to happen. Naturally, it's going to be a lot of pain and a lot of things before the baby's born. But once the baby's born, people are going to forget about all that, and they're going to love the child. And so I would like to say that
that's
analogy.
Beautiful.
I love this positive thought on all of this, because it is easy to get lost in the fear of it. I mean, the possible devastation that we might be facing. So I really like what you just said also, Robert. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a break right now, and if anyone else wants to call in for a question, we still have a few callers on the line that we'll get to after the break. You can still call 646-478-0828, and we'll do our best to get to you. Thank you so much for staying tuned.
I like that. Huh. How long have we been on? An hour?
Property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Sometimes life can be a challenge. Would you like insight and guidance to help you make the best choices right now? Contact Helene at angelslighthouse.com to make your personal appointment for a psychic reading or energy alignment. Helene is a direct channel to the angelic realm and is remarkably capable of connecting to the living as well as to your loved ones on the other side. Helene is available to clients all over the world via phone or Skype, and it's simple to set up a group reading anywhere. Visit angelslighthouse.com, where you'll find an easy way to schedule right online. And while you're there, sign up for the Angels Lighthouse newsletter and receive information on all the free energy circles, giveaways, and jewelry with a message. Visit angelslighthouse.com and contact Helene today.
What does Colangelo mean?
And we're back. Thank you, everyone, for staying tuned. We're live again, and we appreciate your staying with us and listening to this fascinating discussion with Robert. Would we like to take another caller now?
Sure.
Okay. Let's welcome Mike on the line. He's been waiting quite a while.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Thank you, Mike. Hello. You're live on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about something weird. You know, I don't know whether it's real or not, but it was actually pretty creepy. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead with your question, Mike.
Okay. Well, I go to UC in Boulder, Colorado, and at my campus there's this guy that always, you know, was trying to talk to me and make conversation and, you know, talking to me on Facebook and all that, and he then told me that if I can tell you something, will you not tell anybody about it? Which I'm breaking the rule right now, but he said that he's a hybrid. And at first I was like, no, there's no way. This can't be true. And then after contacting me many, many times, he says, I'll show you something next time I see you. And then he did something really, really weird with his eyes. And I have no idea whether it was just a gag, like he got these weird contacts or whatnot, but it was really crazy.
So
is your question
like
whether
he's... Something?
Hmm?
Did
well,
he look reptilian with his eyes? Is that what you're saying? He did something
weird
pretty
with
his eyes.
And then he kept telling me there's something about me that he wants me to know, and he kept telling me to go to this, I guess, meeting, get-together type of thing, you know, with some people. He said he can't talk about it. We can talk about it when we're there. And it would creep me out.
Did you?
Eventually, yes. After him asking me for a few weeks, I decided to go and see what this was all about. And, you know, it was rural. It was out, you know, kind of in the middle of nowhere. It was really creepy. I had no idea whether I was going to get killed or not. But I got there, and then we walked downstairs, and it turns out it just was an orgy of niggers tonguing anuses.
Oh, gosh.
Why did I expect that?
Yeah, he was going on a little bit too much. And
I mean, I didn't even want to answer the call, to be honest with you, so we'll just block his number on Blog Talk.
Yes, yeah, and that's what
yeah.
we will do.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
yeah.
sorry, audience, for that. We do the best we can to screen all the calls.
Yeah, we have wonderful call screeners, but sometimes they sound legitimate and they're not. But that's
yeah.
We do
so
the
I'm
best
sure
we can.
Got his number, and we can just delete him from Blog Talk, and that'll be fine.
Yeah, he will be banned
mm-hmm.
forever.
I don't know why callers like to play pranks. It's just kind of interesting that they have nothing better to do on a Saturday night but that. So we're going to go to our next caller named Jess, and hopefully Jess has some good news for us.
Well, Jess is with us.
Oh, okay.
Jess is our call screener.
Oh, Jessica's hello, Jessica. You're live on the air. Oh, she's not talking. She's very
sorry. Hello.
Hi,
Jess.
Hello, Jess. How's
Hi.
It going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, thanks for screening the calls. It's a tough job. Hold on, and
no
I'll put
problem.
You back on mute, dear.
All right. Thanks.
We'll go to our next caller, Pat.
Good
Pat,
evening.
You're live on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I think this is a great show.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I've got about three things to talk about and ask about, and I'll be very quick. The first thing was years ago, traveling out west somewhere. I can't remember if it was Canada or desert area. I had a dream one night that I was looking up at the stars and realized that beyond the stars was a spaceship, meaning it was so big that the stars and the constellations were below it. And I felt all these years that it wasn't a dream, that
mm-hmm.
it was real.
Well, it was an astral travel. That's why you remember it so vividly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a regular dream, and Patricia knows all about dreams. I mean, a regular dream, you sort of remember it, you jot it down maybe when you wake up, and then later it fades, right, Patricia?
Yeah, I mean, there's some thought in the area of dream analysis that, in fact, what you experienced, Pat, And what a lot of us experience is actually real. I mean, it's the what we call a dream or dream reality is actually a real experience in another place. So it sounds like you had a very powerful experience where you had this.
Well, it was, it was one of those dreams where I say this was not a dream, it was real. But it was stunning to entertain the fact that spaceships were so huge.
Yes.
That, and is that true? Do you find that that's a truth? Spaceships are that big?
Robert?
Yes, they are huge. The biggest ship that I saw was about 5 times bigger than our U.S. aircraft carriers. I was privileged to see it every day. And it actually was in the shape of a B-2 bomber, exactly like a B-2 bomber. But it was so high, they let me see it. And so I estimated it would be about 5 times the size of a U.S. aircraft carrier, which was very amazing to me that they have things like that up there.
Yeah. I thought it was very cool. The next thing is, for 2 weeks before, my son, when he was 16, broke his back, and it was a very bad accident and a severe reaction to the anesthesia, and from that, I think he died twice. For 2 weeks before, I saw lights in the night sky, and clearly they were, to me, UFOs. And I would pull him out, wake him up at night, and say, you have to see this and prove to me that, you know, I'm not seeing things. This went on for 2 weeks, and then it ended. And I felt like this had to do with his accident. I've never seen them before, and not again. And I miss them and would love to be connected again. And was that, in fact, UFOs, and did it have to do with my son's accident?
It sounds like one for you, Halit.
I'm sorry?
Helping him.
They were helping him?
I would think so. That they were doing some type of repair work on him.
So this was before he broke his back. Do you think they kept it from being worse, from him dying?
Exactly.
Wow.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Do you pick up on anything with this, Helene?
For some reason, she needed a sign, if I can use that word. I mean, it was sort of like the direction of her intent needed to be in full belief.
What do you mean?
That there's something else out there, that there's something helping us, that...
Oh, yes.
You were able to see it at that time because they, you know, your mind was open, your heart was open, and you felt like it was a portal or a portent of other things to come in a way. And that particular episode of that 2 weeks of seeing them and your son waking up and seeing them as well kind of gave you a verve to continue with life, to continue to discovery, to continue finding out more about what it's all about. And
I think you're absolutely right. And it's
and I think it gave you strength to get through your son's tragedy, too, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's interesting because that verb that you're talking about, I've lost recently. And when I heard you tonight, I thought, I need to call. And I'm remembering how much I want to connect with ETs, almost feeling like that's more real to me than this world. So, yes, you're absolutely right. It helps me. Mm-hmm. I think, to sort of feel that, to feel more real, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we're individually very, very small in the pattern of the universe, right? But this sort of gives us a much higher connection. It raises our vibration. And the only kind of advice I can give you is that if you want to open to this kind of communication, make sure that you go to a reputable place that's helping you with psychic development, and make sure that you do all the protection that they teach you, because, as I said earlier, not everything in the universe is nice, you know. So
you want
to make sure that you're connecting to the right vibration.
Exactly. I think your show is the first time in years that I felt comfortable, because I do feel that there's some real dark stuff, and it's very tricky. I don't know how to discern. So your show has it feels good to connect.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for bringing this to us. It's very special.
Well, thank you so much, Pat. Yes.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep listening.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a lovely call. And Robert, when people come up to you at your events, do they relay similar experiences that they've had in the past or connect to you in a way that they feel like they finally found someone who understands them?
I feel that since I started these events that it has opened up people to come out to these events and associate their experiences with other people who had experiences like themselves. And it's a place where they get together and get to talk about it without fearing about ridicule and fearing about those things. And it's like it's a place where they can come and feel normal about the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And they do talk about their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they were in the closet for the years, but after they've seen the event that, you know, me coming out publicly and doing what I'm doing, it has brought them out of the closet, so to speak. And to find people like themselves that experience.
And what a wonderful way to be in service, Robert. That's remarkable.
It really is.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got a question for you, Robert, because I know I was talking to my friend Bob Luca before we got on the air tonight, and Bob was sharing with me that you're actually able to teach people how to do what you do. So I was wondering if you could walk us through the steps to call forth these UFOs, because apparently this is something that you were saying we can all do.
Yes, we can. I've taught quite a number of people how to do this, and I've taught kids how to do it.
I bet they're good at it.
I call them junior summoners because they do summons the EPs and they do it at their school playground and they feel good about it. They don't discern the evil or any of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe, and that's what my mission is, to open up people to this sort of that. Mm-hmm. Our hope lies in the kids too, you know.
That's for sure.
What I would suggest to people to summon the terrestrials, the angels, is to have a true heart. Also, to pick a day that it's, you know, there's a lot of blue sky and the visibility is really good. And pick a target. It's just a spot in the sky. And intensely look deep into space as far as you can. Do what penetrate your eyes as far into space as you can. And at the same time, ask the angels to reveal themselves and to have a relationship with you and to show themselves to you. And this will happen. It might not happen right then, but they will come to you, and they will develop a relationship with you.
Is there anything else
that
we, anything more to it? I mean, do you start with the prayer of protection, or do you just?
No, it's really simple. It is really simple. No, you don't have to do all those things, but I do, when they do show up, I do put my hands together and I bow to give them respect for what they're doing for me, for showing up and for doing what they're doing. It's really simple. I think things are simple. We just make them complicated.
That's true.
We do make them complicated, and exactly what you're saying is right, Robert, because if you're of true heart, as you said, and you really are looking for the best and the highest, and you're asking God to help you, right, that this is something that is simple.
It is. It is really simple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robert.
The rocket scientist to do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that we are built by our Creator, and we have these abilities to do this, and it's really simple. And
I mean, people are so powerful. They're so powerful, and I think that we diminish ourselves sometimes, right?
Right. The only one to stop is us.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that that, Robert, you're so right when you say that we make it more complicated than it needs to be, and then before we know it, we've got ourselves all confused, and we're not doing it directly and cleanly with an open heart. And, I mean, it sounds like if people just start breathing into their heart center, opening their heart, and starting from that place, then they'll be assured of some level of success with this, would you say?
Exactly. Yes.
Now, I do have a question in the chat room, and it's a good question. I think maybe you guys both can answer it. And the question is, what if you make a mistake or whatever, you happen to call energy that's negative? What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, that has not happened to me, but I've had times throughout these 13 years that a negative type of EP would show up, but not very often. Because they're in the same ballpark out there in heaven, in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes they come around, not very often, though. And you can tell the sort of that, because they look aggressive. They look very aggressive. And
well, I would say that, you are obviously not calling them, Robert. Mm-hmm. You are obviously not calling the negative at all, right? And
right.
If they come around once in a while, I look at it as sort of interlopers, sort of people who are malicious.
They're checking out what's going on, and they're trying to monitor it themselves. What is this, And
well, really, I think in reality, they're kind of attracted to your light. They see the light, and they want to say, what's that? Should that light be there?
Yes. Exactly. When I do my summonings, now the birds, they're attracted to the energy.
Yeah.
Falcons show up, hummingbirds show up, hawks show up, and they thrive in that energy right there above me. And then the ETs show up, and there's a lot of energy flowing, and they love it. And I guess they can see it from far off, and they're always around when the ETs are around.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know why the kings of the past had falcons on their arms, because they knew there was a connection there, and the governments, they have the eagle as their symbol, is because there's a connection there between the ETs and the birds of the heavens. And they know that, and they've known that for a long time. But
so when you do your outdoor events, do people notice that all these birds are coming into the area?
Well, I've been teaching this for a long time to other people, whether they think they discovered it or not. I've been doing this research for 13 years. I explain it to them, and a lot of them catch on, but a lot of them don't. It's up to them if they're paying attention. I've taught this to a lot of people. And so I tell them to look for the birds, and you'll see the ETs around them. And they're very clever, the terrestrials. they're
clever.
Clever at not shocking people, and they know how to hide among the birds sometimes. And then, it depends on how they feel. I mean, they don't want to scare anybody.
Right.
They really can read people's minds, and some people probably are not ready for it, so it depends on who's at the summoning.
Yeah, they really do scan. They scan energy bodies, right?
Right. It depends on who's there, if there's a lot of very, very positive, open-minded people, then they'll make a strong showing. And if there's not, I feel that they won't make such a strong showing. They'll just be clever about it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
When I did the event today at Malibu, we did it at this organic farm, which is a restaurant in the state park of Topanga Canyon. And we had about 20 people there total. I did summon the ETs, and the birds showed up, and maybe one ET showed up, but was so quick, we didn't get very many photographs. So I told the people that were there, I said, go home and have an open mind and look, and they will show themselves to you if you just look and pay attention. And so I had went over there with three other people. We had a carload. And I mentioned it to the people that were in my group. I said, when we get home, we're going to see them. And when we got here, they were here. And
that's
we took
amazing.
A lot of photographs.
Wow.
But this is not the first time I've done this many times.
Well, you'll have to hold some more public events and really keep going with that because they seem to want you to do that, you know?
Yeah, they've really supported and become, mm-hmm. you know, part of your big mission to introduce them to the rest of us.
Right.
And, you know, because I've also heard a lot about the government possibly using extraterrestrials and say in a false flag operation, like we're being invaded and we need to fight them and things like that. So it's, I think what the work you're doing is even more important. If that is the case, if the government's planning a false flag alien attack, then it is so important that people really get it, that they're not here to attack us, that they're here in light and love, and those are the beings that certainly we want to connect with. So, it just creates more of an urgency for the work that you're doing and the way that you're trying to teach other people to do the same thing.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I am doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the government is covering both sides of the coin. They want to come out good on whatever way it turns out, they want to come out good in this the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, they don't like me doing this. They do like me doing it because I'm doing, I'm doing the work for them, because I think people would not believe the government if they came out and said, oh, you know, they're coming, you know, they would probably get frightened. And
mm-hmm.
so having somebody, just a normal person like myself, do this, it's easier to accept.
Yeah. Why don't you give your website again, Robert?
My website is, you can look me up on YouTube at UFO Robert Bingham. On my website, robertbingham.org.
Great.
And you can also see some videos on YouTube at Third Phase of Moon. I got 23 videos on there also.
Wow.
This is just so, it's just fascinating. And it's wonderful that you have devoted your life now to this mission and to bringing more of the good stuff to all of us. It's certainly something that we need, especially in this day and age.
Correct. We are at that pinnacle of change. We have to. And,
But beside them coming to you to talk to you about the change and to bring this to humanity and to extend their love and their assistance, they want to relay more information to you, and I told you earlier that they're probably going to appear right in front of you energetically very soon. But they'd like you to sort of broaden your connection with them because you have the power to do it, and they have a lot of information to relay to you about how to get more people involved in what you're doing, and also prophecy. Now, I don't know if you want prophecy or not, but they have a lot of information to pass along to you, Robert, so you might want to sit down every day for half an hour and try to connect to them with your mind, just to get information that you can write down, too, you know, even more than what you're already doing.
Okay, I'll take your information, and I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
I am getting more, lately I've been able to see things and hear things with more clarity. And,
yes.
They're happening faster. You know,
yeah, so all you have to do is make an appointment and just say, you know, you're sitting down for half an hour and try to do it at regular intervals. I mean, be careful of not getting your life wrapped up with these messages 10 hours a day because, you know, you have to work and eat and live and everything too, but they will stream lots of information to you when you sit down to get it. Okay, Robert?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so... Yeah, make sure
you
write it down.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, we loved having you.
Yes, this has been a blast. And please feel free to send us any of the correspondence you receive from the ETs. We'll be sure to put it in our newsletter. Mm-hmm. And for the audience, if you haven't signed up already on SupernaturalGirls.com, please do so, so that we can keep you aware of all of our upcoming shows and Robert's messages.
Yes, we want to post your radio show, the information on your radio show on our website. Is that fine?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Please.
Okay,
thank you.
We will do that.
Thank you.
We appreciate that very much. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We want to get the word out about what you're doing, and we also want to get the word out about our show, because we have every week fabulous guests like you, Robert, and we want to continue having the great audience that we have. So this has, again, been a wonderful show. And next week, we do have the Find Me group coming back. Now, this is a group of very powerful psychics and also law enforcement people who have joined together, and they go and look for missing people, and they find them. So they hunt them down. They think, where are these people ending up? We're going to find them. They go out there. They charge nothing for their services. They solve homicides, and they use their psychic abilities to do it. They are a fabulous group. And, again, they're out there, like you, Robert. They have their mission in life, which is to find the missing, and that's what they do. And we're going to have them on next Saturday. So be sure to join us again next Saturday for that one. It's going to be another fantastic show. So I just wanted to make sure I shared that before everybody logs off. Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
Now, Robert, could you have any planned events coming up that you'd like to announce?
Do I have any planned events? I think I'm doing one more Malibu event.
Do you post that on your website usually?
Oh, yes. I'd like to announce that I'm doing in 2 weeks from this Sunday, I'm doing an event at the Park Plaza, which I consider my home base, in downtown L.A. on 6th Street and Parkview Avenue. I've done many events there, and it's easy to access to get there, and I've had a lot of great events there. I'm going to do this 2 weeks from today.
Very nice. And that, all the address and the time and so forth will be on your website, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's at the Park Plaza in L.A., your home base where you've done other events. Well, that's wonderful. Well, good. Very nice. Well, thank you so much, Robert, for spending your valuable time with us. We really, really appreciate it, and we hope you come back soon.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to going on your show again.
Okay.
Oh,
thank
we're definitely
Robert. Going
to have you back. So make sure you take good notes with the ETs, because we want to know what they're telling you.
I'd like to say to the audience, listening audience, keep your heads to the sky. But the clouds will tell you why, and if you search for the clues, the master will tell you what to do, and he's going to tell you to keep your head to the sky, because they are going to appear here, and they're going to be here.
Wow.
And that's quoted off an Earth, Wind, and Fire song called Keep Your Head to the Sky.
Good music.
Well, you're getting a lot of thank yous from the chat room also, Robert. They really appreciated your spending your time with them tonight as well.
Well, thank you again. And like I said, I'm looking forward again to coming on your show.
Okay. Good night, Robert.
Good night,
and thank you.
What a fascinating discussion with Robert Bingham, huh?
Oh, my goodness. It's just great, and I know that the next time we have him back, it's going to be so much more expansive, and I love the advice you gave him, Helene. I mean, you really gave him some good support from the ETs that were sitting around next to you tonight.
They were
and
just channeling love through me. It was unbelievable. I don't know if he felt it or not, but boy, telling you, I don't know, that was the connection. They wanted people to feel the love of their vibration and their very high vibration. These beings were extraordinarily sort of angelic realm helpers. They've all sort of banded together to help humanity, and so it was really fascinating.
Well, and that's what's, again, I'm so glad, because so much of the history of this has been wrapped up in not-so-great experiences for abductees, mm-hmm. but not only have they been poked and probed and put back on Earth with their memories erased, but then they have to face all this ridicule and also invasion by the government and harassment by the government. So it hasn't been an easy road for people in the past that have had these experiences. But Robert has really turned this on its head. I mean, this is a totally different kind of experience.
It is, but I don't think that certain cultures ever abducted anyone, you know, like the Arcturians and many others I could name, Pleiadians, you know, people, beings like that. They haven't come and abducted anybody. I think that those were more negative or less humanistic cultures that came here just to study us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Quite possibly. I mean, I'm still waiting to hear why they did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I still think there are some very big unanswered questions around what has gone on, especially with Betty and Barney Hill, with Bob and Betty Luca, and Travis Walton. I mean, there's so much that happened there. And I still want to hear an explanation about it, and hopefully someday we're going to get it. And we'll be free of all of the secrecy. So tired of it. Really like to hear the truth.
Well, we can hope, Tricia.
Yeah. Hope. No, you're not. See, everybody, Helene is not big on any kind of disclosure here. She doesn't think that the government's going to disclose a thing. And I hate to say it, but I kind of agree with you, Helene. I think the last people we're going to hear from is our government. And that's why it's great that people like Robert are here, because they are willing to share their wonderful experiences and the fact that these beings are so enlightened and yet, you know, technologically advanced, but they're not here to wipe us out.
No. Not the ones he's dealing with. It's just amazing. And he is just a remarkable channel himself of light. And right now we're going to say goodnight to our wonderful audience who stayed with us for the entire evening. We appreciate your listening. And we'll say goodnight, Patricia.
Good night, Helene. And everybody, please come back next week for another exciting show from Supernatural Girls.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another radio adventure with Supernatural.